The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly.
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans gear
has no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 346. I hope all is well with you, and I thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. My guest is an individual that wears many hats, and I know I've used that phrase to describe some of my other guests, especially ones that have many projects that they're working on, but I think my guest on this episode takes the crown of wearing so many hats. My guest is Maria Daniels. She is a podcaster, an entrepreneur, a small business owner. She's a mother of seven. I really don't know how she does it, but she does. We're going to talk about all of her endeavors, including the Successfully Chaotic podcast, which is a podcast about balancing work and home life. We had a great conversation, and I hope that you enjoy it. And I'm not going to waste much time getting to it, but before I do, I would like to thank a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. Now, we're going to be talking about a lot of topics that deal with small businesses, and of course, World's Greatest Comics is a small business. So if you need comic book stuff, no matter if it's supplies, collectibles, single issues, graphic novels, toys, back issues, no matter what it is, think of it this way. Not only are you getting some great comic book stuff from World's Greatest Comics, but you're also helping out small business. So think about it that way. So you need to stop by the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they're even available online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And I would like to thank that small business, that proud sponsor, World's Greatest Comics, for supporting the PVD Cast. We really do appreciate it. I know I say it all the time, but I truly mean it. And again, you get a chance, check out the store. I don't think you'll regret it. All right, now, with that over and done with, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with podcaster, entrepreneur, et cetera, Maria Daniels. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this afternoon with Maria Daniels, who is the founder and host of the Successfully Chaotic podcast, and oh my gosh, so many other things. We'll get to that in a moment. Maria, how are you today?
I am good. It's the first day of school here, so I'm a little tired, a little cranky. I know a lot of people say that it's easier when you send your kids off to school. That's not my experience. I feel like summer is so much easier.
What grades are your children in?
So I have seven children. I have four that are still in school. I have one that's in 11th grade, one that's in 8th grade, 4th grade, and kindergarten.
Were they excited to go back?
The 8th grader, 4th grader, kindergartner, yes. 11th grader, absolutely not.
Is it a son or a daughter?
It's a sun, and she's just not a morning person. She's not a fan of anything morning related. So yeah, if the school started at noon, she would be all for it. But the fact that it starts at 7:30 in the morning, she's not a fan.
Well, see, I'm thinking 11th grade. You're like, I'm almost done. You know. Yeah.
So. Well, she's tried to convince me of that. Trust me, there's a whole conversation where she thinks that she's like, why can't I just go ahead and get my GED? I'm like, give 2 years left, Kyla. It will be fine, I promise. You know, it's like, Lord. So.
All right, well, let's start talking about the various different projects you have going on. Let's start off with the Successfully Chaotic podcast. Now, it is a podcast for entrepreneurs, correct?
Primarily. So, I mean, we do talk, obviously, some parenting things. If I had to pick kind of who our target is, it's for entrepreneurs who are balancing business ownership and family life. And it is very much of a balancing act, I guess I would say. You don't ever balance it. That's the key. It's like it's never 100% balanced. But, you know, we do. That's our kind of our target. But we do get people that are listening only for entrepreneurship, or only because of the parenting side of it. And we do some things talking about autism because my 13-year-old, they used to call it Asperger's, but now it's just high-functioning autism, step one autism. So, you know, he's able to be in, regular classes and all that at this point, but he was nonverbal when he was younger. So we've gone through that whole journey. And, you know, sometimes we'll have some shows related to that. Those have been, you know, some actually pretty popular shows because, you know, if you're in that world of having a child with special needs, it's like you're just like needing all the info, right? You're needing to hear the stories of people have been through it and what they tried and what they did and what they didn't do. And, you know, so we do some of that as well.
Why did you decide to start the podcast?
That's funny. So I've kind of dubbed myself the accidental podcaster because I had somebody tell me I should start a podcast. And I was like, okay. And if you know me, it's not a surprise. Like, I'll just get this idea on a whim. And I know, you know, some people come up with ideas and they're just like, oh, that's a great idea. I'll never probably do it. But I'm not that person. If I come up with an idea, I will do it. Good, bad, ugly, in between. It's going to happen. And I'm just like, okay, let's do it. So I did it. And I had no freaking clue what I was doing. Like zero idea what I was doing. And I don't know that I'd ever even listened to a podcast before I started my podcast. I may have, not knowing that it was a podcast, but I didn't have any like podcasting platforms downloaded. I didn't actively listen. I did speaking engagements. And I was like, you should put this on a podcast. You need to do a podcast. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do a podcast. So yeah, that's kind of where that came from. It was not a big mega plan. This wasn't my dream, nothing like that. It just kind of was something that happened. And I did fall in love with it, though. I fell in love with just being able to meet people. And surprisingly, it's something that I think I'll stay with, which some of my things, it's like it's here for a moment. I'm like, oh, that was fun, boring now, on to the next thing. But I mean, I actually genuinely do enjoy podcasting.
You are not the only one that has said they've accidentally fallen into podcasting. A guest I had a couple weeks ago, same thing, is Kathleen just was like, oh, I'll try it as a guest, okay, on a podcast. And then all of a sudden, whammo, she's the co-host. So
whoops, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, you know, you're not the only one that's happened to. What has the podcast taught you about yourself?
Oh Lord. I talk a lot.
You said you like talking.
I talk a lot. Yeah, I also talk a lot. Like a lot, like if you could hear what goes on inside of my brain when I'm talking, it's like, nope, stop talking. No, Maria, don't talk, don't talk. Wait. Because I like to talk. I'm a big talker. And listening to myself back, that's horrific. It's horrific to listen to yourself back anyway. And I figured out that my terrible accent, it sounds worse than I thought it did. And so I have learned that as well. But I've also learned, you know, just the aspect of dealing with people. I've always been pretty good with people, but you learn a lot just about kind of that ebb and flow of conversation. And even though our podcast isn't like, you know, like super overproduced or anything, it's more conversational, like it seems like this one is, there's still like an ebb and flow of conversation. And, you know, I don't know. I've learned that. That's what I've learned.
Do you have a favorite guest that you've had on? Or maybe a couple? Let's not limit it to just one. How about we'll take two or three or four?
That's hard. That's really hard. That's a hard, I'm sitting here trying to think. Chanel Rose, I like Chanel Rose's episode. She was early on. I actually need to have her on again because you know how that goes when you start a show. It's like you have no idea what you're doing. And then so I had her on early on. I need to bring her on again. But she's energetic. She actually co-hosted another show that I had had for a while. I brought her on. I like her that much. But her episode was great just because her energy, you know, because that was the hardest thing for me to learn with podcasting is I came from public speaking. So public speaking, you have an audience, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a whole different dynamic. You're talking to people, you know, who are laughing, who are, you know, like you could see their faces. You can tell what you're saying is making an impact or, oh, we need to back off that because they're not loving this. You know,
yeah,
you know, there's something absolutely there, you know, there's an energy there. So that's been the toughest thing to transition from public speaking to talking to literally no one. But so the early on in my episodes, you know, you'll gel with some people you bring on, some guests, and some you won't. That's kind of normal. But with her, there was like this instant energy and you could feel it, even though we wasn't even on video and I could still feel her energy. And that one was, you know, that was I guess probably the first time I felt like super pumped, okay, but I could still feel the energy. And this is, you know, something that's probably the most memorable just because of that. It was the first moment that I felt like, okay, this is something I can get into. This is something that I can still do it similar than the way that I was used to with public speaking, but in a digital format.
Okay, cool. Speaking of episodes, what's a typical episode like if a listener would tune in to Successfully Chaotic? Or is there a typical episode?
There's not a typical episode. There's not a typical episode. I do like bullet points. I'm the bullet point. Like I do not script it. It's not scripted. Most of the time I don't know most of what is going to be said. I'll know at least a little bit about a guest. I know a few things that I want to know more about or something that will be interesting to talk about. But I also ask them, like, before we even start recording, I'll say, you know, is there anything that's going on that maybe our listeners would want to know, you know, type of thing. And we'll discuss that a little bit. But it's just kind of like you would run into somebody and just have a conversation. It's like that. It's go with the flow and laid back. And I like it better like that. I have been on some shows that are very scripted and they actually send me a script and I'm like, oh my God. Because at that point I'm like panicking because I am not like, I don't script well. I don't script very well. So that for me, that is the typical episode. Just kind of go with the flow and lay back. It's my personality anyway. And I found for me, it works better instead of trying to shove my personality into what the podcast should be. It's easier for me to take the podcasting world and kind of, you know, put it with my personality. If it's something that I want to do long-term, that's the only way that I'm going to keep doing it.
In a recent couple of episodes, mm-hmm. I know you talked about an event called the 1 in 44 Tour.
Yes.
And in fact, it just wrapped up, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. About a week ago?
It did. Yeah, it was last weekend.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what this event was all about?
It was actually an autism event. It was 1 in 44. At this point in time, 1 in 44 individuals are diagnosed with autism. And if you know anything about autism, that has gone up rapidly. It used to be like 1 in 10,000 and then 1 in like 1,000. And it's just rapidly gone up. And that there's a couple of things that can go into the why. Is there very better diagnostics or is it actually increasing? And I think, in my opinion, it's a little bit of both. But all in all, this was to do two parts. It was to educate the people that had bought tickets to be able to attend this event. A lot of them were educators. They were also parents. It was to educate them on just the world of autism and not only educate them from, you know, my experience as a mom, you know, of an autistic individual, but also our speakers and presenters themselves were also autistic. So it was a pretty cool dynamic of them teaching from their own lives, teaching from experiences. There were some professionals as well that had come on to be able to speak. We had performers that came on for music that were Spectrum Laboratory, which is in California. They actually train autistic individuals and individuals with special needs on, you know, in different areas like acting and music. And we had some of their former students on presenting, you know, music. And it was just a really great event. SJ Childs, which is, she was another host on there. And she is also an autism mom, and actually her husband is also autistic. So she's, you know, she's kind of got that from several angles on experience. And, you know, it's something that we're both very passionate about, on being able to educate on the world of autism and what that means. And that, you know, the way that we look at it is it's not necessarily a disability. It's a different ability. And, you know, you do have the individuals that do have a disability of some sort that aren't able to do certain things, but the diagnosis of autism doesn't necessarily mean that you're disabled. It just means you're different abled. And that was kind of the underlying theme on that, is just kind of teaching it from that angle, because, you know, as humans, we tend to, you know, fear or pity what we don't understand. I know when my son got his diagnosis, you know, it was almost this weird combination of relief and fear, because I knew something was up. I just didn't have a name. So if you don't have a name, you don't know what to do. So getting the name was, you know, part relief that at least we had what was going on and we could make a plan, but also fear, because that can mean so many things for his future. And, you know, that is something that's kind of made me passionate just about teaching about that world, and teaching not only parents whose children do have autism, but also, you know, others in our world. If 1 in 44 individuals are diagnosed with autism, all of us are encountering autistic individuals probably on a daily basis. So, you know, it's in our best interest as, you know, humans to be able to learn, okay, well, you know, if this, you know, person over here has some little nuances that we aren't understanding, you know, do they have something else going on that maybe that they're coming at it from a different language? And that's kind of how I describe autism anyway. It's just, they speak a different language. It's, and, you know, if there's miscommunications, it's a language barrier. It's no different than taking me, you know, living in the U.S., speaking English as my native language, and just dropping me in the middle of, you know, Africa or something. I don't know how to speak any of those languages. I wouldn't know what they would want from me if they were trying to speak from me. And autistic individuals feel the same way until they learn our language. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just, you know, being able to educate people and getting them to understand. So that's what that event was about. And it was amazing. It was an amazing event, and we're going to be doing it every year, and we're hoping that it'll just get bigger and bigger, because it's something that's much needed.
I was going to ask if you had planned on doing more of those events since it was so successful.
Yes, we're definitely going to be doing more of those.
Okay. Well, I got a couple more questions about the podcast. Then we're going to talk about some other things that you're involved with. Where can folks find episodes of Successfully Chaotic? And do you have any new episodes coming up that folks need to check out?
We should have, I don't edit my own podcast, but we should have an episode coming out this coming week. That would be a Stacey question, and she's not here, so I can ask her. But you can find it on any of the podcast platforms. We also have a website, successfullychaotic.com, that you can find it on. We usually drop a new episode, usually every Tuesday. There's been a couple of Tuesdays that we skipped, but yeah, that's where you can find us.
I'm kind of envious. You said you don't edit your own podcast?
No, I have a team.
I'm so jealous. I'm the one-man show over here. Man.
Oh, no. I didn't know. So that's another thing with Maria's brain. I get something started. I see that it's a working machine. Okay, we're going to do this. So then I start building teams. And I built the team, and we actually do podcast editing and different things for businesses and for other podcasts. I have this disease and disorder, I guess, where I start businesses. I'm like, oh, I can, if I'm doing this for myself, I can do this for somebody else too. So I create that, and then I push it out there. And yeah, it probably is diagnosable on some level. I can't stop. I can't not look at something and be like, oh, I can do that at the business. I don't know. It's a problem.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Maria for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a proud sponsor of the PVDcast, and they are also your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds of back issues. Basically, they got you covered for your fandom. So, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or check them out online through their website, WGComics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. Well, let's talk about some of those businesses. Let's talk about Reset Business Consulting. I guess the biggest question, that especially for maybe some of the listeners out there, how important is the correct marketing plan for a small business?
Oh, critical. Critical. Is
it? Yeah, I assumed that was going to be your answer.
Yeah, it's critical. And, you know, I always say that, you know, if we had all the time and all the dollars, we would do all the things, but I don't know anybody that does. So the key is not only to be marketing, but to pick your best strategies. And, you know, when I kind of describe what we do business consulting. We heavily do marketing consulting, but there's some strategy and some other things that we also consult in, but we're heavily in the marketing realm. I always, you know, describe that we look at marketing like a financial advisor would look at your portfolio, right? If you've got a certain amount of dollars that you're investing and it's supposed to, you know, carry you through retirement, your financial advisor's job is to look at the stock market, look at your dollars, look at your plan, look at your age, look at all these things and come up with the best plan on how to allot your dollars in the appropriate places and then watch it to see how it's doing, right? Oh, this is doing like crap. I'm gonna move this over here. Marketing should work the same way because the marketing world, the like the, especially the online, works so much like the stock market that you have to, as a marketing professional, look at what's their budget, what's their industry, you know, how much time do they have to put in it? Do they have a team? You know, who's their target? What's their goal? All these things. And you have to place those dollars accordingly and then watch it to see, is that working for them? Is it not working for them? And then, you know, move it as needed. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, with especially micro businesses, which, you know, I know we say small business, but by the SBA definition, small business can be like 500 employees. And, you know, to me, that doesn't mean small business. So, you know, micro businesses would be like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 employees or something. You know, those are the ones that usually struggle the most. And it's because they don't have the manpower. They don't have the budget to be able to do all the things that they really do need to do to be able to keep up with their competition. And so that's kind of become, you know, some of our specialties. I am in a very rural area. And when I say rural area, I have a bank that I renovated that sits on the corner of the one stoplight in my town. So I'm in a very rural area. So there's unique challenges to rural areas. And one thing that I found, I mean, I used to have my office up in outside of Cincinnati. So there's such a different dynamic. One thing that I found here is not only do they not have the dollars, but a lot of them, there's not even the infrastructure around here to be able to support some of these things that needs to happen. So, you know, that's been a unique challenge and that I've been kind of tackling out here. I almost feel like I run two businesses, even just within Reset, just trying to figure out the dynamics of, you know, what all needs to happen here in this rural area. And then also managing my clients that are all over the U.S. And you can't necessarily do them the same. Like I can't take my client that's in Columbus, Ohio, and do them the same as I do a client that's here hyper local. It's just, it doesn't work the same. Even if they had the same type of business, the same budget, you know, all the other things were the same, it does not work the same. So, you know, that's kind of very long winded. Told you I like to talk. Long winded answer of should businesses market, but there you go.
Well, and one of the things that you mentioned too, because I think that some of the listeners probably will fall into this trap, is you don't realize how marketing has changed. Because it, like me, as a kid, I remember newspaper ads, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the place. The local hardware store has their sale ad there on the back page of the sports page. And now that's not a thing. You know, now you probably are starting to dive into, if you haven't already, you know, like TikTok, how do you advertise on that and stuff like that. So I think that that's maybe another wrinkle that I think you mentioned. Technology changes our world every single minute, every single hour, every single day. And I imagine that that is something that you have to stay kind of ahead of the curve when it comes to marketing.
You can try. I mean, trying to get ahead of the curve is quite challenging. They're constantly changing things. And if, you know, if you're a business owner and you're on, you know, social media, you probably, you know, hear algorithms. It's, I mean, you're never going to win the algorithm game. That's what I try to tell all my clients. If that's your goal, to try to win the algorithm game, you might as well quit. Because I have certifications in these areas and I still find out about it after they make the change. And actually there's been a couple of times where I've called specifically Facebook and they're like, wait, we did that change. Let me look. I got the email before they even knew. So it's like, there's constantly things changing because you have to look at it from, you know, I guess Facebook and Google and all of their standpoint. their goal as their business is what the user wants. And so mm-hmm. they don't care what I want. They don't care, right? They're wanting to see on a large scale what people want. So they make these changes to get the data. And a lot of times they won't even be permanent changes until they collect the data to see that that's viable. So that's the reason for a while, sometimes it seems so up in the air, and it's, you know, it can be quite a challenge. And the biggest thing that I think any small business can do is to make sure that, you know, well, first of all, I mentioned Google, make sure that you are, you know, on Google, get your information out on Google, because that's, you know, last time I checked, 94% of all searches done, it's actually probably higher now. But you know, that's the starting place with everything. And then you can build from there. I know we're getting ready to start. I have a live show and podcast under, Risa that's, you know, funded through there. That's called Business Acceleration Playbook. And we're getting ready to start and it's free, starts August 30th, every Tuesday, and we'll be streaming on Risa too, but every Tuesday we'll be doing a, training. And it's specifically, and it's going to be for 8 weeks. It's specifically for marketing for micro businesses, because it was something that we were going to be putting together a paid workshop, because we do this. But just with the fact that all these businesses have come out of 2 years of a pandemic, and then now, you know, a big recession, it's like, all right, well, I heard of another business locally here that closed down, which broke my heart. I wish I had known about it before that happened, because I could have tried to do something, but it's like, I don't want to hear any more of this, right? So it's like, all right, we're going to go and do this. We're going to push this out there. We're going to do these trainings. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, we'll get some people that ask questions and stuff, because we're here to help.
Give us the website and social media for folks can get in touch with you for Reset Business Consulting.
It's resetbusinessconsulting.com, and you can find us on Facebook, you know, Reset Business Consulting, Instagram, and Twitter, and we're all the places. Now, we're not as active on, like, I did get a TikTok channel for Reset, and good Lord, it's like, I don't want one more thing to keep up with. This is what I tell my clients, too. I'm like, I'm there with you. I don't want to do all these things either. And it's like, you know, and we may not even do anything with it. It's, you know, and I had somebody call me the other day, and they're like, I heard that if you don't post on all the platforms, that you're hurting yourself. And I was like, what did I say? It's the same thing I always say. I swear I'm gonna get a tattoo. If you have all the money and all the time, you can do all the things. Do you have all the money? No. Do you have all the time? No. Well, then you just got to pick and choose, and that's going to change, right? If all of a sudden, you know, people are like being really responsive on this one platform, like we'll just say Facebook, all of a sudden people are being really responsive on Facebook, then great. Gravitate your time and energy to that for the moment.
Absolutely.
It's just the way that it's got to go. It has to be kind of this balancing act. You're never going to, you know, have this moment that it all, I don't even know, even the big boys that even have it all together. I've done some jobs for some big companies that shall remain unnamed, but they don't even have it all together. So, I mean, it's just how it goes.
Let's talk about the Vault Cafe, something that's not so digital, something that's not so cyberspacey, if you will. Basically, kind of a little coffee shop that you have.
It's a coffee shop.
So tell us a little bit about why you decided to open up your own coffee shop.
Well, I mentioned that I have an old bank that we renovated, and I have my office here. I also mentioned that I used to have mine out. It's actually Northern Kentucky, Covington, outside of Cincinnati. I got spoiled by having coffee or whatever I wanted around. When I closed that office down, it was actually before COVID. So in hindsight, that was like a fabulous idea, but I didn't know how fabulous it was going to be. But closed that down to be closer to home, started renovating this building. I had my offices here. We rent out a few offices. It's a co-working space. Like, I turned it into a co-working space. But the only thing that was missing was a place to grab a cup of coffee, grab a bite to eat. Now, I thought this, it was going to be like a super simple, like, add-in. I was just like, in this coffee shop, it'll be so great. And it's taken over like my whole life, but it's going really well. This area really needed it. You know, a lot, I mentioned earlier that a lot of these towns are just dying. These rural areas are just, they're just dying. And, you know, this is kind of, you've seen the life kind of come back to this tiny little town just from opening this. And, you know, it was kind of a four-part purpose. It was to be able to have an office for myself. You know, it was to be able to offer a place for people to be able to come in and work. We do rent out private offices, but, you know, there's open hours where people can come in and use our Wi-Fi. I ran great Wi-Fi through the entire building, which, you know, if you're listening and you're not in a rural area, that seems like, wow, Wi-Fi, woohoo. But out here, it's like satellite you know, internet is kind of the norm. You can't get good internet. So I was paying all the money to be able to put it through that I needed it for myself. So why not open it up to the community for them to be able to utilize that? So we've had people come in, you know, to work. We've had people come in to do presentations for their products. We have one lady that rented my conference room for 3 days to be able to present her products that she had, was able to get a bunch of contracts to be able to sell these, or they were going to be selling these in their store. That's huge for small areas like ours. You know, people talk about rural economic development a lot. That's like this like coined phrase that everybody wants to bring up. But a lot of times they're not talking about areas like ours, the super, super small areas, you know. And so to see things like that happening here, you know, it's great. And the Ball Cafe was kind of like the icing on the cake. It was to actually pull people in, because what pulls people in more than, you know, a great cup of coffee or sitting together for a meal? And whether you're just coming in with friends, which people do, you're having a work meeting, or you're, you know, chunking out some homework, you know, just, you know, a place like this kind of becomes a community.
So do you also have a website for people to check in if they happen to be coming through your neighborhood? You don't know. There could be people in Cincinnati listening. They're going to stroll through or wherever.
We get people from all over that comes in. We actually, the American Discovery Trail, which is a hiking trail, goes right in front of my building. So we get hikers that stop here too, which is pretty cool. I'm an avid hiker. I've never done the American Discovery. I don't have, you know, 18 months of my life to devote to it, but it seems pretty cool. But yeah, so it's drinkatthevault.com is the website for that. And we're The Vault Cafe on Facebook, Instagram, technically Twitter, but we're really sad and pathetic on Twitter because I'm not a big Twitter person.
Okay, gotcha. Can I talk to you real quickly about one final endeavor of yours?
Absolutely.
Natural Approach Health and Fitness.
All right, so I've actually been in that industry longer than anything. I've been in the wellness world since 2000. I'm a nutritionist. I used to be a trainer. Technically, it's not like they took away my training certificate. So, I mean, I'm always be a trainer. I just don't actively work as one anymore. But nutrition became my focus. I'd already started kind of gearing towards it. But then when my son was diagnosed with autism, I always tell people, when you don't know what to do, you do what you know. And I really started digging in and getting more certifications, because I couldn't, quote unquote, cure autism, right? I couldn't make it go away. There's a lot of things I couldn't do. I had no control over. But the one thing that I could control is, I was like, okay, well, I know with nutrition, that's like the foundation, it's the building blocks of everything. So if I can improve his nutrition, it's definitely not going to hurt him, right? It's going to help feed his brain. So that became my goal. My goal was to really study the brain and how the brain, you know, absorb nutrients and just all that. And that I became hyper-focused on that, which led me into hormones, became hyper-focused on hormones, because of course it all works together, and then gut health. So those are my three specialties, is, you know, hormones and the brain, the hormones and the brain together, and then gut health, and then actually autoimmune, because they all kind of work together. I still actively work as a nutritionist. I don't see patients every day. I see usually 3 or 4 times a month. I see them here locally where I'm at, and also in Columbus.
Okay. Boy, you are a busy woman. I mean that with all due respect. So what do you like to do on a day off?
Yeah, there hasn't been one lately. That's the whole, I'm training a few people so I can get a day off again. I actually was having this discussion with somebody the other day. I do this to myself. I'll get to the point. Like, I was to the point, I was only working 2 days a week. I'm like, this is good. This is great. But 2 days a week, I get bored. I'm like, gosh, this sucks. I need something to do. So then I have to do something else. And I'm not working 2 days a week now. I'm working way more than that. But I'm training some more people to get out of that habit again. I fall off the wagon. That's my addiction. But anyway, I do like to hike. I'm an avid hiker, like I mentioned earlier, kayaking, anything really outdoor sports related. I love that. I have a small, I guess this would kind of be considered a job, but I consider it for fun. I have a small farm, that we do, you know, berries, herbs, vermicomposting. So I'm like the weird worm girl in my goggles with my microscope and my worms. But, so that's something that I enjoy a lot.
So. Well, there you go. Cool. All right, Maria, let's wrap up with plugging any upcoming appearances, events, any social medias or anything we overlooked. Just let us know. Where can folks keep tabs on you?
Well, you can follow my Facebook profile's public. It's Maria Daniels. And then we already mentioned some of the other ones. As far as the upcoming event, if you're interested in the one that's starting on August 30th for 8 weeks, we'll be listening on the Reset Business Consulting page and also on Business Acceleration Playbook Facebook page. So you'll be able to follow and join on there, and it'll be live. You'll be able to ask questions, you'll be able to watch the replays, but it's every Tuesday for 8 weeks starting August 30th.
Well, Maria, I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and chat with me this afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Maria Daniels, talking about Reset Business Consulting, Successfully Chaotic, all the endeavors that she has going on. So definitely check out Maria's stuff if you're interested. And once again, I want to thank Maria for taking some time out of her very busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. All right, so maybe you want to get in touch with me and let me know what you thought of this episode, or any episode for that matter. Well, there's a bunch of different ways you could do that. First, you could shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And you can leave me a message over on the Instagram and Facebook feeds for the podcast. Just look for @pvdcast. Maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of different ways they can do that as well. First of all, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and that's a great way to get episodes, but they're also available through all of those major podcasting outlets like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Deezer, etc., etc. Just go to the search bar, put in PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if that's too much hassle, I'll give you an even easier way you can hear every episode of this beloved podcast. Simply go to @PVDcast over on Facebook on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a broadcast, if you want to call it that, of the week's episode. It's a whole lot of fun because sometimes you may want to make a comment or ask a question, and I can interact with you during that broadcast. So again, that's on the Facebook page, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. If you listen to any episode, I need you to do something for me. I need you to rate and review that episode. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it's super important for every podcaster. We need that data. We need those statistics to show all those outlets that we are getting listeners. So again, you don't have to write anything super duper long. You don't have to give me 5 stars unless you think I deserve it. No matter what you thought about the episode or anything, just rate and review. It's so super important. And while we're at it, why don't you subscribe so you never miss an episode of the PVDcast? All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Once again, thank you for checking out the episode. I really do appreciate it. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.